piecing together two separate New Year's Day attacks in the United States.
And comes barreling through people, throwing people like a movie scene, like real life, throwing people into the air, they falling under the car.
Were they connected or coincidental?
They'll look at the cellular telephones of each individual, see if their communication, other similarities.
Today is Thursday, January 2nd, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
This was an act of terrorism. It was premeditated and an evil act.
That was Christopher Rea. He's the Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI Counterterrorism Division, talking about the New Year's incident in New Orleans in the U.S. state of Louisiana. Witnesses described the scene.
Bodies all up and down the street.
At least 14 people were killed. The FBI now says that the pickup truck driver responsible for the deadly rampage in New Orleans acted alone. And on the same day, in another tourist destination, a Tesla Cybertruck caught fire and exploded outside of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. Anna Bruce, a tourist from Brazil, was there and says she saw three explosions.
First one, where we saw the fire. The second one was, I guess, the battery or something like that. And the third one was the big explosion.
Now, the only fatality in Las Vegas was the person inside the truck. The Clark County, Nevada sheriff released a video of the blast and says it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been.
The fact that this was a cyber truck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump Hotel were not even broken.
So let's get the latest on both incidents from VOA's national security correspondent, Jeff Selden.
As of Thursday morning, the FBI is saying that there is no evidence at this point to directly link the two incidents, the truck ramming attack in New Orleans that killed 14 people, 15 if you include the attacker who got into a shootout with police, or the cyber truck explosion outside the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas, in which the driver appears to have been killed. They're continuing to look at that. In the case of New Orleans, they've recovered some cell phones, some laptops that belong to the suspect, and so they're looking through that. But as of this point, they say there's nothing to directly connect the two incidents. Information has been coming out about both of the suspects in these two attacks. In the case of the New Orleans attack, the FBI has identified the suspect as a 42-year-old from Texas, Shamsuddin Jabbar, who had served in the U.S. Army, had deployed to Afghanistan around 2009, 2010, had come back to the United States and was living here in the U.S., working in Texas, had a family, was apparently divorced. In the case of the Las Vegas attack, they've identified the driver of the Tesla that exploded as an active U.S. Army Special Forces soldier who was on leave, was supposed to be in Colorado at the time of the attack, and the Army is looking into that right now to try to get a better understanding of when he left Colorado, when he made the decision to drive this truck to the Trump Hotel, and then why, you know, what went into the truck exploding and what his involvement in that specifically was.
At least in the New Orleans case, in your article on voanews.com, you wrote about this is something that the FBI and other agencies have been worried about a long time, this radicalization of American citizens.
Well, the radicalization issue has been worrisome for more than a decade. Specifically, though, in conjunction with radicalization, going back to about 2016, when an ISIS supporter used a truck and rammed into people in Nice in France, and there was another attack at a Christmas market shortly thereafter. There was also an attack in Columbus, Ohio, where an ISIS supporter used a car to drive into people. This has been something that law enforcement officials have worried about, and it's something that groups like the Islamic State, not just the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, other terror groups have put out similar propaganda and instruction manuals on the internet, on social media, because they encourage their supporters to take the means that they have available and to do damage. So, you know, ISIS would put out propaganda saying, if you don't have a bomb, you don't have a gun, what can you use? And one of the popular themes has been to push using cars to ram people because they know, based on what happened in 2016 and 2017, other incidents, that these types of attacks get a lot of media attention. And according to U.S. counterterrorism officials, that's something that ISIS is craving, that they're seeking. They want the attention. They want the notoriety. They want to use these types of attacks to build their brand. The other reason that law enforcement and counterterrorism officials worry about it is because these types of attacks are difficult to detect in advance. Because oftentimes, and the FBI right now saying in the case of New Orleans, where it was 100% ISIS-inspired, but they're looking into what did Jabbar, the suspect, did he have any contact with anybody from ISIS? Right now, the indication is no. The indications as of right now, early in the investigation, is he found the content, he radicalized himself, and then he carried out the attack without any direction or support from anybody in ISIS, whether ISIS in Syria or Islamic State in Afghanistan, which has known to want to carry out these types of attacks. So it's a very effective way for ISIS to gain notoriety, for them to carry out an attack, to do damage, to say they struck the West with very little investment other than putting propaganda online and essentially giving people a manual for how to carry out an act of terrorism.
VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Seldon. You can read his story on voanews.com right now and follow the story with him on our website as well. Thanks.
Anytime.
You know, Scott, whenever we hear about incidents like this, especially during the holidays when people are out and they're celebrating and they're just feeling very jovial, and, you know, some of we've heard from these people, you know, they were just listening to music and, you know, with their friends and family in New Orleans, the big crowds, and, you know, just everything changes in a minute. And yeah, it's sort of shocking for these people, I can only imagine.
Well, I think this is the new reality. It reminds me of the mass shooting in Las Vegas during the concert a couple of years ago. You get big crowds on holidays having a good time, not expecting something like this. And I think that's, as we heard in Jeff's report, what they're after.
Yeah.
So now the federal government and local law enforcement are trying to piece together what exactly happened, why they did it, what their motivation was. Joining us to talk about it, give us some insight into those investigations, is organized crime expert Daniel Brunner. He's a retired FBI special agent and now CEO of the Brunner Sierra Group.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely, not a problem. My pleasure.
So these two separate terror attacks, how likely is it that they were linked?
Well, I think it wouldn't be prudent for, you know, the FBI, who's lead agency, to make that statement to whether whether it is or is not. I mean, obviously the assistant special agent in charge, you know, she took a lot of heat in that first few hours for stating that this wasn't a terrorist attack, and then it turned out to be. So that's why you don't want to definitively say it is or is not with an ongoing investigation. I think that there are many differences between the two attacks, where if I, you know, it clearly states that the Las Vegas is an attack. I think the differences are very stark. My personal opinion, based on the information that I'm seeing and I've been talking to some people, I do not believe the two are connected. I believe that you take the one in New Orleans. That was an ideologically driven. He was clearly stating it on the videos that he was recording traveling from Houston to New Orleans. He had an ISIS flag on the back of the pickup truck. He clearly was motivated to do harm to individual people who are out, you know, regaling in the New Year's Eve events, and with a similar type of attack to Germany and to Berlin, the two vehicle-borne attacks in Germany. Las Vegas, for me, was more symbolic. He was, you know, making a statement in a Tesla truck in front of a Trump facility. He had plenty of opportunities, if he wanted to do a similar type of attack, to kill individuals, to kill civilians, where he didn't do that. the explosives material are different. In Las Vegas, it's gasoline with fireworks. In New Orleans, it appears to be more IED, more explosive built material. The only similarities between the two is they were both from the military, and they were both rented their vehicles via the Turo app, which again, I think is a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences, but in this situation, my gut says that they're not aligned. They both happened on New Year's Day, which is a major event in the United States. So if you had two events on 14th, which is not a spatoon, then yes, I think that we'd be looking at a very coordinated attack. But you're talking about, you know, if you had a major holiday, New Year's Day, Christmas Day, that is symbolic for a terrorist attack. I think that they're not connected, but it is absolutely prudent by the FBI to maintain neutrality, to ensure that they've mitigated any other threats and make sure that there aren't any other cells or groups, and to see if the two are connected via utilizing the investigation. They'll look at the cellular telephones of each individual, see if their communication, other similarities, you know, are they communicating with the same person that is coordinating this attack, a la type 9/11 attack, where each of the aircraft, the individuals did not know about each other's cells. And that was kept on purpose. So there's a lot to be done, a lot to be investigated, but I believe at this time, I don't believe that they're connected.
I want to talk about the one in New Orleans for a moment. We have reporting from our national security correspondent that says, and you mentioned it, that they found an Islamic State flag in the pickup truck he used to plow into the crowd. This is something that they've long feared, the FBI, a plot at least inspired by the Islamic State terror group, if not coordinated and sponsored by.
Absolutely. This is Director Wray, and the FBI has been on alert. This is one of the most dangerous threats to the United States, because you have a U.S. citizen who's been radicalized by overseas entities, by overseas Islamic groups, you know, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. They have the ability to reach out via countless social media platforms, websites, and they've targeted individuals like this individual, like the shooter at Fort Hood a number of years ago, and they're radicalized, and then they send them down the pathway to violence. The danger is, because especially if they're a lone wolf, there's no way, there's no individual who can provide information. There's no individual that could provide a tip to law enforcement. If I do not believe New Orleans, he acted alone. I believe he had support structure in Houston, and I believe that they sent him down the pathway to violence because he was vulnerable to be influenced by certain entities in Houston, which, from what I understand, they're being investigated. There are certain religious individuals who are, you know, sent them down a radicalization pathway. So I think that those need to be looked at, and I think this is a very, very dangerous threat to this country, because, you know, we also have the additional threat of that on individuals have come across the border in the last 4 years, last 8 years, last 12 years, the last 4 years, the tremendous amount of individuals that have come across the border includes obviously Venezuelan gang members, but there are also individuals from the Middle East, from China. There are countless numbers of parties in this country who look to see damage. And those are the people we really want to look at, but we also need to look at ourselves and find individuals that have become radicalized from just the internet. It's very difficult.
Right, because he was apparently a U.S. citizen born in the U.S.
Correct. Yeah, I believe it was a target of opportunity. How he decided upon New Orleans, that's what the investigation is going to determine. He's clearly left a digital footprint from his social media posts that apparently he was posting from his trip between Houston to New Orleans. Why did he pick New Orleans? Why did he pick Bourbon Street? Was he familiar with the streets? And that's what the investigation is going to find. I think there were a tremendous amount of failures by New Orleans Police Department and by New Orleans, you know, Office of Emergency Management. These are the types of groups that will secure a location that should have been security, that should have been there should have been bollards that were blocking the sidewalk filled with water. Those bollards are hundreds of pounds. It would have slowed down, if not stopped, a vehicle, especially when it was turning, as the video has shown. That vehicle was turning onto that sidewalk, and it was traveling maybe 5 to 10 miles an hour on the turn and then accelerated. The fact that it was just a police vehicle, a cruiser, blocking that road is completely unacceptable. There are some serious problems that will be looked at, but this needs to be looked at much, much later down the investigation. Right now, the number one thing is to be looked at is mitigate the threat. Find out that they're no longer individuals that are a threat to this country as part of this cell or group, then conduct the investigation. But meanwhile, there are still large events going on. You have the FCS National Championship in football in Frisco, Texas, that will be occurring on Monday, on the 6th. You have countless bowl games going on today in Jacksonville. And obviously, you have the Sugar Bowl that will be occurring right down the road from the incident in New Orleans. The quick lessons learned from the mistakes of New Orleans from 2 days ago need to be quickly implemented, and the threat assessment needs to be reconducted at each one of these sites to make sure a similar copycat attack doesn't happen, because it's a very easy, very low-tech attack, but can cause a tremendous amount of damage.
I want to go back to the use of social media for a minute, because it's not just a tool to reach out and radicalize, but the reaction from the attack on social media creates a sort of chaos that plays to the advantage of those who want to sow unrest in the United States, right?
Absolutely. You can look at, just from a few weeks ago, the attack on the United Healthcare CEO and the infatuation that people have on the shooter there. And, you know, I refuse to name them, because that just brings more attention to their cause, because that's what they want. That's what they are looking for. They're looking for attention to their cause. The shooter in the United Healthcare wants to bring attention to his cause. They believe that they are advancing the cause. They're advancing the movement. In this situation in New Orleans, he was advancing the cause of whatever organization that radicalized him, whether it be ISIS or whether it be somebody else in Houston that radicalized him. And that's what they want. They want the attention. Social media has given that, afforded that attention to be able to reach out to countless numbers of individuals and offered them a platform for them to open discussion, find similar people of their liking. The number of radical, You know, you have individuals, you have groups, whether it be white supremacy, whether it be Islamic extremists, you have numerous groups who don't, you know, what you're saying is the norm. Within those groups is a very, very small percentage of individuals that are so extreme that they're willing to give their own life for that cause. This social media world is now giving the platform so that small percentage can hear the talk and look at the attention that it's getting. So this is actually, you know, the amount of TV news articles that are being written, this is just emboldening them to maybe, hey, you know what, maybe I'll go past the edge and maybe I'll take it and conduct a copycat attack or move forward whatever plans they had and move it into action. So it is very dangerous. It is quite alarming. And I don't know if there's ever a solution to that because of freedom of speech that we have here in the United States.
And so the Tesla explosion in front of Trump Tower in Las Vegas, would you say that's sort of less of a larger threat and more of a statement?
So from what I'm understanding this morning, the individual has been identified as a 19-year member of the military, active duty. It was a Green Beret. And he was, you know, highly, you know, was decorated member of Special Forces of the 10th Mountain Group. From what it has been seen on, there are social media posts of he and his wife in an airport, and they're very anti-Trump, very against President Trump. They're very much against that that political agenda. Whether that was a motivating factor, whether that pushed him over the edge, I think the investigation is going to find news. I think that clearly this was not an individual who, you know, was careful about leaving a digital footprint. think the footprint is going to be found. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that could be interviewed. You have countless members in the military who are, you know, around this man, who can, you know, talk, find out interviews. Everyone is going to be interviewed. Everything in his life is going to be turned upside down. His digital footprint, search warrants are going to be executed. From what I understand, in Colorado, FBI Denver is executing search warrants at his location for all devices, laptops, to look at the exact trail of where this individual went off the path of normality and to conduct this statement. That's why, like I said, based on what I'm opinion, it appears to me that it is a statement to the Trump organization. If he wanted to kill people, if he wanted to really do damage to Vegas, there were plenty of other opportunities he could have on New Year's Eve that he could have done that. So that's why I believe it's at this time, that's it. But the investigation will determine that.
Daniel, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure.
That was organized crime expert Daniel Brunner. He is a retired FBI special agent.
So both of them, Lori, both Mr. Brunner and earlier in the show, Jeff Seldon, our national security correspondent, have said they've been worried about this for a long time, and it is seemingly now starting to happen.
Our federal investigators and law enforcement really have their work cut out for them, because as this potential for more grows, it's going to be, you know, a bigger and bigger job to make sure that they can prevent these from happening. And obviously, it appears that they won't all be able to be prevented, unfortunately.
It is the new reality, not only here in the United States, but globally. We had that attack over Christmas in Germany, and I think it's going to be something that police departments are going to have to deal with all over the world.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone at VOA, thank you so much for joining us.
And follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at DOA The Issue. And for news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, check out our website at doanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. We will talk to you tomorrow.